Jenkins Church. I'd like to have the attendance booklets passed out if we haven't already done so, and we ask that everyone would sign those, register your attendance. And if we have any first-time visitors this morning, we'd like to welcome you. And if they'd like to be recognized, do we have any first-time visitors? Welcome everyone. Sue Brandon? Okay. Good to have you.
There are others. Just make sure you meet them. They did not want to be recognized.
Okay. At this time, we'll take any announcements from the congregation. Do we have any announcements? John.
Yeah.
He talks slow.
Anyone else?
Let's have Susan. Sam and Nancy back. And did Kim come yet?
She's coming tomorrow.
Coming tomorrow. Kim stays. South America.
Susan. In the bulletin, we ask that you take time to look at those. This time, we also would like to take any prayer or praise requests that anyone has from the congregation.
The Murphys will have their baby Thursday, and so pray them prayer. The Millers, Angie had a scary night, but everything was okay. So lift up Angie. And everything was okay, though, but they got excited during the night.
Thank you. I have some prayer requests. First of all, I'd like to give a praise this morning. Thursday, I got to go for a couple of hours to our Gracie Joe school and read a book to her class, share some treats with them, have lunch with them, watch her get her picture taken, and go to computer class. And it was such a wonderful day for a grandfather to do that. It's just a wonderful thing to have a grandchild, a granddaughter. And I praise God for that, and I ask all of you to pray for our Amy to deliver healthfully and without much trouble Thursday, and for her to be healthy and to have a healthy baby yet. And pray for Jeremy that he can keep his mind and not leave it that day. And now I have something very dear to my heart that I must ask you for. I love all of you, and I know that you love me, and I know that you love God. And I ask for this more than I've ever asked for anything in my life. I have a friend, and he's, I think, already on the prayer list, Bill Harrell, H-A-R-R-E-L-L. And I ask you to pray for Bill and his wife, Peggy. I had a one-hour visit with Bill Friday, and it was probably one of the most excruciating things that I've ever had to go through with. Most of you, if you've watched the news or you've heard anything from the Murfreesboro area, you've read about a man who was an investor and took his own life and spent $50 million of other people's money. Well, my friend Bill and his wife, Peggy, were just two of those people, and I have other friends also, the Carroll family, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, put them on your prayer list, but particularly put Bill on your prayer list and Peggy. He's broken. His mental capacity is completely broken. Bill and I we've been friends forever. We went through Boy Scouts together. We went through school together. We hung out together. I spent many nights in the Civil War home that his mom and dad owned. And I can't tell you, I hope you never have to see your friends like I saw Bill Friday. And he tells me that he doesn't know that if he can come back from this or not. And I have to be very choosy about my words and what I had to say to him. Fearful for his life. He didn't indicate anything to me in the way of suicide or anything, but in his words, he said, "This evil has taken everything away from me." So I just simply and humbly and with all my heart ask to lift me and Peggy up in your prayers. Just ask God to surround him and Peggy and their daughter Mary, and to keep his life upon
preparation for worship, we ask that you bow your heads for silent prayer.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can come this morning to offer praise to You, O Lord, that we can exalt You. And Lord, we know You to be worthy of all that we can offer and worthy of so much more. Lord, we recognize our limitations in offering praise and glory to You. But Lord, we pray that You will take what we can offer as we do our best to bring glory and honor to You, and take it and accept it as true praise from the heart. Thank You for this gathering, and wherever Your people gather in Your name. Lord, we are thankful to be a part of a great kingdom upon earth, making ready for a kingdom in heaven, that we might join that great cloud of witnesses that has gone on before us. Lord, bless us in this hour. Let us honor You. Let us glorify You. We want to just bring glory to You. And will You do it in the name of Jesus? Even now, coming and praying that prayer that He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and join with me as we express our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Glory be to the Father.
Confession this morning comes from Isaiah 59:12. Our offenses are many in Your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in Your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness this morning also comes from Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon.
Once again, and it's a really a privilege to be here this morning, and I hope that gentleman over there would understand what I'm saying, because I sound a little bit different from, I don't know, that's what they call that southern drawl, but I will try my best when I sing to be able to, you know, bring that forward. I just want to take this opportunity as well, for those who weren't here last week, to thank them for helping my family move, and also for taking Jade, you know, give her all this love and all this attention. This is a new home for her as well, and I just want to thank everyone. This is a song, I like these old southern gospel songs, and it's a song called Who Am I?
He came so far from glory. He came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. When I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray that my will and love? Answer I may never know why everyone knows, but to that old of the cross he goes, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll be if you'll be true, I'll give you life forever. For I wonder what you would have done to deserve God's only Son to fight
countless battles until they're won. Oh, who am I? Who am I? Not a king, but bleed and die for. Who am I that she would pray, not my will but Lord? The answer I may never know. Why he ever loved me so. But to that old rugged cross you go, for who am I? But to that old rugged cross you go, for who am I?
Amen. We give the Lord all the praises. Amen.
Children's time now with Miss Andrea. The children will please come down front, and there will be children's church.
Thank you.
offertory sentence today comes from 1 Chronicles 16:29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Will the ushers please come forward?
turning your hymnals to hymn 255. It's listing that as a contemporary hymn, contemporary song. That song's been contemporary for a long time, but it's held up over the years. Thank you. A T, correct? Correct. Okay. I thought for a minute Elvis was in the building. Very, very nice. Thank you very much. I'd like to take just a moment or two here to tell you about Nancy and our trip to Columbia, South America. There'll be some more information later. We'll come up with some ideas for that project pass through the session. But I want to express my thanks to the congregation as a whole and to the members of the session for sponsoring this part of my ministry. It's been a great blessing. This was my seventh trip to Colombia. I was almost as far south as you, but my seventh trip and Nancy's first, and she had a great time. They had 9 shopping malls. But we had our ministry called the Grace Team. Some of you know about it and some of you don't. We emphasize on our trips that we're on a spiritual journey. And we do go for construction purposes, but we emphasize that we witness through whatever we do, whether it's digging in a muddy ditch, which we did last 2 weeks, or if we talk to somebody about the Lord. And we had a conversion in Colombia. We had a man to give his life to Christ at the work site, a Colombian man, and his family had been praying for him for quite a while. So I count that as the most successful part of this spiritual journey that we just took for 2 weeks. We sweated a lot, we dug in the mud, and we got cleaned up every night, but we witnessed for the Lord. So thank you for supporting this ministry. It's a great thing, and I appreciate you helping me to do this ministry. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's sing it through twice, please.
Oh, scripture lesson today comes from 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17 and 4:1 through 6. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The time will come. What time will come? When people will not listen to sound doctrine. They won't their ears to be tickled. That probably happened in the day of Timothy. That has probably happened in every age. This word from the Apostle Paul to this young minister is a word to all of us, especially ministers, young or old, that people will not like sound doctrine. They will not like to hear about things like judgment and sin and repentance, etc. Good advice to an old minister and a young minister and those in between. Good advice to a Christian who's been called to share the gospel, whether it be from a pulpit or whether it be while he's on the handle of a shovel, shoveling mud out of a ditch. Be faithful to the scriptures. Be faithful to the gospels. Be faithful to the teachings of the prophet. Be faithful to God's word. Servants. There are servants, and then there are servants. And if you allow me to catch up with you, this morning is a good servant of Jesus Christ. There are servants, and then there are servants. And the two are worlds apart. There are good servants, and there are servants who are not worth the salt that goes into their bread. They may have even been hired in a servant role, but soon decide that they are management material and do not want to function as a servant. They want to be in charge. And I used a family illustration in the 8 o'clock hour. I will spare you that. If you'll come to me, I will share it privately. about a member of our family who didn't want to be the child, wanted to be in charge. I won't even tell who. And that was, my parents would say that about me. So it could have been a private testimony. But I wasn't the only one. Jesus taught us a great deal about being good servants and how not to be a less than good servant or a bad servant. One example that Jesus taught about being a good servant was in the parable of the talents. There were three servants of the Lord there, three people who had been entrusted with the goods or the resources of another, and they were supposed to use them wisely and maybe multiply them. Two of them were successful. They were faithful servants. But the other, out of his fear, he said he was fearful. Out of, I don't know what else, he failed to use what God, what his master had entrusted to him for the benefit of the master. Likewise, in the church, in the Christian community, many who are called to serve God, many ministers, but also lay people, fail to use the talents, the abilities, the resources that God has given to them, entrusted them with for the glory of God. The parable of the fig tree. The fig tree was a servant. Is that stretching it just a bit? And it was. It was supposed to produce figs. That's what fig trees are planted for. That's why people grow fig trees. And when the master of the garden learned, observed that it was not producing, he wanted it destroyed because it was just taking up ground. The fig tree was not a good servant. It was not a productive item in the garden. The caretaker asked for permission to take care of it another year and to give it special attention to see if it would produce. But when we find it where Jesus spoke of it, it was not productive at all. And some people are like an unproductive fig tree. Some preachers are like the unproductive fig tree, or the servant who took his resources, his talents, and buried them. Why do I talk about the preacher so much this morning? The Apostle Paul in our lesson is writing to the young minister called Timothy. He is writing to this man called Timothy, who was very possibly the pastor of a local church. And Timothy needed some guidance in how to be the pastor of the church. Paul wrote to him urging him to be a faithful servant of the Lord, a good minister of Jesus Christ. Actually, Paul wrote Timothy two letters that we have record of, or that we have, and he covered many aspects in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, of the minister's responsibility, or how the church should be operated and how the minister should lead the church in this type of ministry, how they should choose elders, etc., even down to the details of what he should drink when his stomach was out of order. And, you know, you ever had your stomach tied in knots? It can happen in the ministry too. Just it feels like, well, it feels terrible. And when things are falling apart, or things are not going well, or things are out of sorts in the church, you need something to calm the nerves. Now, in the South, the United States South, if you take too much of that prescription, you're really in trouble. We don't even say what it is, okay? You go and read it. For the sake of the stomach, though, I've used it too often, I guess, in the whatever. Talking about it, not consuming it, all right? Every aspect, or many, many, many aspects of a pastor's life, or a church leader's life, or a church member's life, all of them are spoken to in this, these letters, two letters. So as the layperson, even the new church member, the new Christian comes in, well, we can find in that these letters why people do what. It's outlined. Instructions, I said, for his personal life as well as his ministerial life. Today's lesson is specifically about being a good evangelist, or sharing the gospel, or the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Sharing the way to salvation through Jesus. Sharing how a person can be forgiven of their sin. How a person can be freed from the guilt of their sin. But as I said, this message not only speaks to the minister and calling him or her to be a faithful minister or a good servant or a devoted servant. This message speaks to you who are lay people also. You who are not preachers. Because every Christian, according to the New Testament, according especially to the Apostle Peter, every Christian who has received salvation through Jesus Christ, or through their faith in Jesus Christ, has the calling to share Jesus. Peter calls us a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, and we're all to share the gospel. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church and said that the minister's duties was to train the people in the pew. If they were in pews, maybe they were standing, or maybe they were sitting on the floor in the early churches, or sitting on the rocks down at the river. But the minister's responsibility was to train the people to do the work of ministry. Still is. Train the people to do the work of ministry, or to share Jesus Christ. A good servant. What is a good servant to do? A good servant, following what Paul said to Timothy in this lesson, but this is general, not just for this lesson, is to keep the faith. Keep the faith. Some of us remember a phrase that was often said way back there when things were going tough for one segment of society. And their rallying cry was, "Keep the faith, baby." That means don't give up. Keep the faith. Good word for a group of Christians gathered here at the corner of Nolensville Road and York Road, in a place called Jenkins, in a building called Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church, or where we meet. Good word, a good word for any minister to keep the faith. Keep on believing God's word. And Paul says to Timothy, remember from where you received this word, from where it came. And earlier we learned that Timothy was taught by his mother and his grandmother. I gave a little test in the early service. What were the names of the mother and the grandmother? What was the name of the mother of Timothy? Mother and grandmother. Lois
and Eunice. Do we have a Lois present this morning? Do we have a Eunice present this morning? Do you have a Peggy Donovan's mother is named Eunice. And she certainly knew that name. Do you have a mother that was Eunice or Lois? Or a child that was Eunice or Lois? Bible names. The mother and the grandmother of Timothy. And he says, Paul says to Timothy, keep believing God's Word. Keep on believing God's Word. Remember from where you received it, or from where it came unto you. Remember what you have learned, of which you are convinced. The Amplified Bible paraphrases. Remember that of which you are convinced to be true. Remember it. Sometimes preachers, and sometimes other Christians too, especially young preachers, after three or four tough situations, and friends, a young preacher can create a tough situation, or he can just move into a tough situation. It's not only for young preachers either, but a young preacher, it can really be tough. And after three or four tough situations, a young minister can be tempted to give up. Now, I've also observed some that some of us, in our wisdom, think ought to give up trying to be a pastor or make some drastic changes in their life. Like one preacher that I'm convinced don't need to try to pastor till he makes some drastic changes. He won't go out and invite other people to church. He says that's the people's responsibility, and if they don't do it, it's not going to get done. And he says his job is to preach Christ. And I can't argue that his job is to preach Christ. I affirm that. But if nobody's there and the people don't bring people in, and if all the people have departed, who's he going to preach to? Empty pews. It can't happen. We thought it had happened last Sunday, didn't we? When I kept hearing, we're going out of town. Somebody had to hang on and trust that you'd be back. Glad to see you back. Keep on. But believing what you've heard, you can wonder if even that calling that you thought you had, or that you were so convinced at one time that you had to the ministry or to the Christian life, you begin to wonder, well, was this real? Or was I mistaken? And after about three stumbles, some may be self-created, and I've created my share of them. Don't tell anybody. I might be looking for a place to preach later. But Paul says, keep on believing the things that you have been taught. Keep on believing the things that you have been taught. That Psalm number 6, I kind of sprung it on Sam. He didn't get home till midnight last night. But if you want to turn to number 6, it's in the first verse, and it speaks of these people. Made this connection this morning. He says, and every faithless murmur stale, put down or rid me of these faithless moments, or these faithless murmurings, the faithless murmurings that we may hear in the recesses of our mind, or we may hear in the community, or we may hear from the pew. People of little faith or no faith may question and may ballyhoo the gospel, the good news, the law, the prophets. And the songwriter, evidently back in the music was written in 1566. I'm not sure when the words were written by Johanna Schutz. Long time ago, anyway. In old days, in other words, the songwriter evidently had the experience or had observed other people. Maybe he was writing about other people's faithless murmurings. But he is praying to God, God, still, or quieten down, or hush up. Cause to be quiet.
that faithless thought that I've had, or that faithless murmurings that keeps coming to me. So it was a prayer for help me to remember and hang on to and keep the faith in that which I have been taught. And then Paul says, remember where you heard it. Those that taught it to you. And we said it was his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, and Paul himself. And he says, you've been hearing this since childhood. Don't give it up. Well, some of us didn't hear the gospel as children, or we got just a little sprinkling of it. Praise God, I got enough of it to trust Jesus at a young age. But some were adults before they ever heard the gospel. Paul evidently had preached in Timothy's presence, or had, if he hadn't preached and heard him preaching, maybe it was a one-on-one relationship. But Timothy had learned much from Paul, but he had also learned earlier from his mother and his grandmother. And Paul says, keep on believing it, because it's not just any word. It's not just another book. It's not just another magazine that some freelance writer wrote an article in. It's not just even a history book. It's word from God. And the Bible is history. But God breathed history. And God directed lives are the history of God's people. That's what the Bible is. It's word from God. And so he says, don't give it up. Remember it. Hang on to it. Cling to it. The law, the prophets, that's what we must remember. Plus, we have the benefit of the New Testament. The writings of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can find His life and what Jesus said. The Old Testament, the Law, and the Prophets just pointed to Jesus. We have an account of His life. Timothy probably didn't have it then in book form, but it came along pretty soon afterward. And then Paul's letters, the encouragement that he put in them to a young minister, what the apostles spoke when they preached, the early church discussed the teachings or the doctrine of the apostles, what they taught, what God had revealed to them based on their understanding of the law and the prophets and the history from the Old Testament. The prophets of old spoke what the Lord had delivered to them. Paul, the Apostle Paul, spoke what the Lord gave to him to speak. To the letter to the Corinthians, he said, I'm delivering to you, or I have already delivered to you, what the Lord gave to me. This was the 11th chapter concerning the communion service. But other places he refers to what has been delivered to him. Once or twice, Paul says, I don't have a word from the Lord on this, but it seems wise to me that this would be the way it would be. You can look up those passages. But about twice, I think it is, that Paul says that. But what is in all of Paul's letters, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, etc., 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 through Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus, we believe that God spoke to this man of His, this man of God, and Paul recorded it for our benefit. Paul spoke the word that the Lord gave him. So it's not just any word. And then Paul says, remember it, depend on it, it's helpful to you. What's so helpful about the Word of God? It makes one wise. Now, James says if we want to be wise, ask the Lord and He'll give us wisdom. But Paul says that the Word, God's Word, gives us wisdom also. So we read the Word. We ask God to make us wise. It makes us wise not just in worldly things, but it makes us wise unto salvation. It teaches us how to be saved. And that's why we need to share the Word, especially those parts that teach people how to be saved. It makes us wise unto salvation. It tells us how to experience the forgiveness of God and experience salvation and eternal life through faith. If we don't believe the truth of the Word, if we don't believe the goodness of the Word, it will do us no good. It makes us wise. It is useful. It is useful, or one version calls it profitable, to us for all the purposes of living as a Christian. How should a Christian live? Start with the Ten Commandments. It's a good way. Honor God, honor your fellow man. Four commandments teaching us about honoring God, how to act before Him. Six commandments telling us how to relate to our fellow man. That's a good starting place. But read what Jesus said about relating to our fellow man, especially the Sermon on the Mount. It tells us what is true. It also reproves us for that which is false and directs us into that which is of God. It equips us for the work of ministry. It equips God's people for living in the world. It equips us to do good works that Christians everywhere are called to do. In our confession of faith, it is referred to as the infallible rule of faith in practice, the unfailing rule that we can believe with confidence and that we can practice in our What kind of servant of Jesus Christ are you and am I? Are you willing to be the servant of His? Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for today. We thank You for these Your people who have come to feed on Your Word. And we pray, O Lord, that You would take these words that have been spewed forth and let them rest upon the ears and the hearts, the minds of these Your people. And Lord, let them be Your words. We pray in Jesus' name. For guide us to be good servants, honoring, obeying Your Word. Help us to be faithful to our calling to serve You. In Jesus' name. Maybe this morning you need to trust and have been thinking about putting your faith in Jesus and making that commitment or that experience public. You would express your faith publicly in Jesus this morning. You're invited to come here and be with me right here in what we refer to as the altar of this church. I don't know your heart. Don't know how God receives you. You do. You don't understand what is happening. If something is happening, you might need to come and just pray. But every one of us might find it helpful to rededicate ourselves to be good servants of Jesus Christ for the building of His kingdom. Put the 373 down. Let's do the first two verses.